minute show, to be honest with you. Doesn't matter to me.
Cincinnati Bengals coaches are in high demand interviewing elsewhere, and let's get into the Bengals free agency class of 2023.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here on Locked On Bengals, bringing you coverage of your Bengals free and available every day on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcast. So hit the subscribe button on YouTube, hit the bell for notifications, and if you're listening on an audio platform, you can follow the podcast there to make sure we're delivered to your device every day when we upload our content. Today's episode of Locked On Bengals is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 6 players and whether they will score more or less in their Prize Picks projection to win up to 25 times your money. Get an instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On at prizepicks.com. Again, promo code Locked On. James, we got a bunch of Bengals coaches interviewing elsewhere after they have secured Dan Pitcher for the future with an extension. Brian Callahan taking his second interview in Indianapolis as we record this podcast on Wednesday. Lou Anarumo meeting with the Arizona Cardinals. Troy Walters interviewing for an offensive coordinator position with the Houston Texans. And losing any of those guys would be a major impact. Even if there are heirs apparent, say it's Dan Pitcher for Brian Callahan, I'm not sure who it would be for Lou Anarumo. The ensemble coaching staff for the Bengals is a big deal and a big part of their success. So obviously this is something that bears close watching.
I don't think there isn't an heir apparent for Lou. And it's one thing, because it's a matter of when, not if. We said this when we had Lou and Brian on midseason, they get head coaching jobs. And especially in this day and age of the offensive mind and everything that happens, offensive wise, I expect Brian Callahan to get a job. Maybe it's with the Colts or Cardinals, or maybe it's next offseason. But I expect him to get a head coaching job in the near future. And when it comes up, so many people say, oh, well, Dan Pitcher, just slide right in. And I think that's the route they would go. But that still sucks because, yeah, it's continuity and Joe Burrow likes him. But then you need to find a new quarterback's coach. And there's a little bit of a shuffle there. And then there's growing pains for the OC. Now, the benefit is Zach Taylor calls plays. And so maybe it's not as big of an impact as it would be for, say, the Bills, right, who lose Brian Daboll. And now Ken Dorsey's calling plays because they have a defensive-minded head coach in McDermott. So it might not be as big of a deal promoting from within as it was for the Bills, but it still impacts things. Mm-hmm. And as far as Lou goes, I don't know what they would do there. And I'm seeing a lot of people say, oh, well, if they lose Lou, oh my goodness. And I agree, he's really valuable. I do think that they would be an attractive destination, of course, for potential defensive coordinators. But it's the blessing that and the really the downside of being good. Right. The blessing is you have a lot of great coaches and a great coaching staff. The downside is they're going to be wanted. And I was shocked they weren't in higher demand last offseason. And this offseason, it got off to a slow start. And now you look up. And part of this has to do with the Bengals getting eliminated. I think if they win, who knows if Brian Callahan even gets a second interview or an in-person interview. It might be strictly, hey, let's take a closer look at him now that he is eliminated and could potentially be our guy and start formulating a staff and all of those things. Troy Walters, I like Troy a lot, and I think he's going to be an offensive coordinator. And one more year with him would be cool too, because I think he's had a really big impact on Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's had a big impact on T. Higgins. And certainly playing the position, knowing the ins and outs of the position, he's a perfect guy to coach a young – two young star receivers, like now 24-year-old T. Higgins and 22-year-old Ja'Marr Chase. So one more year of Troy Walters would be nice as well. But at the same time, you can't root against these guys for moving on up. We all want to move up. So we'll see what happens.
Where do you want to go, James?
Oh, I mean, as far as Locked On Bengals, we're the number one Bengals podcast, so there is no moving up. I don't know what you were talking about.
Where are we number moving one, up? Baby.
it ain't nowhere to move up, but maintain the number one spot, and hopefully our listeners allow us to do that this offseason.
Yeah, we do appreciate our listeners for that. Look, the upside, like you mentioned, having your offensively minded head coach means that you should be able to stay consistent on offense. You have to find guys that are going to replace the way Callahan works with Joe Burrow, the way that Callahan works with Zach Taylor. You have to backfill, of course, and they will. On the defensive side of the ball, and even on the offensive side of the ball, my impression of this Bengals coaching staff is that it truly is an ensemble cast. Like, all of these guys are contributing at a high level, not just doing, you know, whatever their positional coach job is, like not only working with receivers, also working on red zone game planning or what have you, working on third down situations, whatever it is, right? Frank Pollock obviously doing a lot with the run game in his role as the offensive line coach and run game coordinator. So there is a lot of that where, you know, you hope some of these assistants can just help pick things up. And then you need the leadership to tie it all together on either side of the ball. And that's what you would have to be looking for if either of these guys gets a job. It's not clear whether they will. Callahan, seems like there's some smoke there in particular with Brian Callahan to Indy with the second interview, one of just a few candidates. And there are obviously some others that the Colts are looking at, but only two jobs still open, right? And it's the two that the Bengals have coordinators interviewing for.
Yep.
Both today, Wednesday, as we record this, and Thursday, as you might be listening to this.
Yeah, Brian, be a good fit, right? He'd be a good, I think he fits anywhere now. As far as that Colts job, who the heck knows what Jim Irsay's thinking, yeah. Right? He's pie in the sky, no idea. You know, I think they have a smart GM that probably loves Brian and is pushing for him, and I think Jim Irsay has his own agenda, so you never know. What the case would be there, but I think he's a real contender.
Shane, is it Steichen? Steichen? The Colts? Not the Colts. The Eagles offensive coordinator who calls the plays for the Eagles, also interviewing for that job, second interview for that job. Jeff Saturday, obviously, still in the mix, and Raheem Morris, right? Those are the four that I've seen mentioned.
Yeah, and Chris Ballard, I think he would make a pretty good decision, but I don't know. And by the way, here's the other part. Is you have a loose candidate owner, and mm-hmm. Ballard could be out after one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very real possibility, I think, in Indy. But I don't think Brian is in the level of saying no to a job yet. Like, you know, there are certain guys that, you know, would say that, like, I'll wait. I think he would take it. And so, and I wouldn't blame him, right? There's 32 of them. But
very hard to turn down that first head coaching opportunity.
But we'll see. I think he's been around the league long enough, so we'll see there. I actually, this might be a take. I think the Colts or the Cardinals job might be better.
Yeah.
As wild as that sounds. Just because at least the owner isn't that. I mean,
both teams are a mess.
You know?
More or less, I would say.
You have a pretty good quarterback, I think, in Arizona. He's weird, yeah. Though. Odd dude.
But like the rest of that, Ross, anyway, doesn't matter. Not really too much of our concern unless one of these coaches leaves, and we'll keep an eye on that and keep an eye on what the Bengals are going to do if one of those departures were to occur.
And if those departures occur, any of them, well, guess what, Jake?
What?
That could impact free agency. That could impact who comes back. And so
on the Bengals?
Absolutely.
Where the coaches are part of the front office? What do you mean?
If Lou Anarumo goes to Arizona, you don't think Eli Apple would love to land in Phoenix? We'll discuss Eli Apple and the rest of the Bengals free agents coming up next. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book, and every Super Bowl party needs FanDuel in their lives. We're really excited about partnering with FanDuel here at Locked On Bengals. And you could download FanDuel now, and you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets. That's $3,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win with their no-sweat first bet. They let you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads, to who will score a touchdown. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
The Bengals have a number of pretty high profile free agents this year, starting with, of course, the safeties, Jesse Bates and Von Bell. You could talk about Eli Apple in that group as well. Jermaine Pratt certainly glowing up in his own way, demanding to play third downs. We'll see where that is. I think that Samaje Perine, Eli Apple, Trey Flowers, also some interesting names that are free agents for the Bengals. But obviously the biggest decisions kind of been made. The biggest name is Jesse Bates, who, what do you think? There's like 2-3% shot that Jesse Bates is back if a market doesn't materialize for him?
I said 1% on CBT.
Sure. I mean, those aren't too different.
No, well, twice as much, but yeah, they're still super low, yeah. Right? And that's just because they've had 2 years to do this. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get it done in 2 years, has anything Jesse Bates done this season? Did anything he do or anything that he's done in 2022, did that wow the Bengals enough to bend on their number? Okay. Well, if they're not changing their mind, does Jesse Bates have any reason to change his mind? And I think you're right. The only path would be he hits the market and nothing is there even close to what he was expecting. And he's like, oh, well, I could get maybe the same money from the Bengals. I just don't think that's very likely. And it just feels like, from a business standpoint, that Jesse Bates is out of here.
Especially with his agent being who he is, the guarantees that Jesse Bates is going to be seeking, talking about, you know, he can't leave $10 million on the table at this point in his life. And I get that. I do.
Can I run a theory by you about Bates?
Sure.
Since we both agree 1%. His agent, you mentioned him, David Mulligetta.
Mm-hmm.
He's Deshaun Watson's agent.
And T. Higgins' agent.
Thank goodness T. Higgins is under contract. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson is on what team? The Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are on the hunt for what right now? Help on defense. They fired their defensive coordinator. I'm not sure if they've hired one yet. I don't know. I know they're going to have cap space. There's a relationship there already. Would not shock me at all if the Browns are in on Jesse Bates in a month, in on him at the combine, right? Mm-hmm. And already talking to Mulligetta about that, because they have an in, they've negotiated with him in the past. That's how these relationships work. So that would not shock me if that's the case and the Browns are a suitor for Jesse Bates in free agency.
I couldn't imagine being Jesse Bates and watching the Bengals come all this way with Joe Burrow and the character in that locker room and observing the Browns as a division rival. And we've seen this happen before, so clearly it happens. But going from the Bengals to the Browns, given their recent history,
we've seen it
for sure, but it's doesn't sound great to me.
I'm just saying that he got a fully guaranteed deal for Watson from the Browns.
I know,
you know, so could they get him? Could they get Jesse Bates that 18 mil? It's still close to Fort Wayne. It's not super far. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going to be very interested to see what kind of market emerges on Jesse Bates. I think he's a really good player, but again, we haven't seen those accolades that teams pay for. You know, he's not getting those votes. Von Bell got more all-pro votes, I believe, than Jesse Bates this year.
Ooh.
So maybe that's a
Von Bell was good
segue
this year.
To Von Bell. But it's going to be interesting to watch Jesse Bates' market. Man. And that's it. I still think he's a really good player. He certainly could get paid like one of the top safeties in the league, but I'm going to be watching that one and it's going to be interesting. Von Bell, more likely to return. I think Dax Hill is, you know, versatile, but he's your Jesse Bates replacement. And Von Bell, a big leader in this locker room, a very smart player, understands what the defense is trying to do. I think that they would prioritize getting Von Bell back. Shouldn't break the bank the way Jesse Bates would, but probably is due at least some amount of a raise. What do you think, James? I feel like Von Bell's probably back. especially if Lou Anarumo is still the defensive coordinator.
Probably. I don't. I think it's 50-50. I think this one's very much in the air, and it's in the air because of that what you said there. I think he's going to want to test free agency. His market wasn't what he hoped that it would be in 2020. Ends up signing a 3-year deal, $18 million with the Bengals. I think he's going to want like 3 years, $30 million. And do the Bengals – and maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's willing to sign for less. I don't know. But if that's the number, I think the Bengals say, eh, and they move on. And we'll see. Does he get that? Does he hit the market? I think he will hit the market. I think he'll test it and see what's out there. This is his last true deal. This will be his third contract. This is his last prime years. So you want to get as much money as you can. And I understand that. So we'll see here with Von Bell. The Bengals, I don't think they would go much higher than, you know, 7 per. You know, maybe you do 321, something like that. Is Von willing to take that? Mm-hmm. Does he want 4 for $35? I don't know. I don't know what the case is, but I think if I had to say, it's 50-50, and it's really dependent on how quick a team tries to swoop in and take Von in free agency, which is, to your point and to what I was saying at the end of last segment, if Lou Anarumo lands a head coaching job, let's say he is in Arizona, what better way to clean up that culture than to bring in a guy like Von Bell, who's going to be a leader in the clubhouse? And you could pair him with Buda Baker potentially. And I don't know who else the Cardinals have at safety, but I'm just spitballing here. That's something that you would certainly be open to if you're Lou.
Yeah. If the market, if he's looking for 10, then I don't think the Bengals are going to be able to play in that sandbox. I don't think that they would be wise to play in that sandbox, to be honest. But if
don't you think he should be looking for 10? Don't you think he should be trying to?
I mean, I think he should be looking for as much as he can get. I think that his play isn't significantly different than it was with the Saints. So, you know, should he get much more than he did in the last deal?
Cap's much different. You know, everything's.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, 7 and 7 to 8.
Yeah. It's his deal is. It's interesting because I could see him getting 6 again. I could see him getting 10 from some team, you know, and he's a culture setter. Heck, CJ Uzomah got 24.
Tight ends are weird, though. Tight end market was weird last year.
It was, sure.
Always weird, to be honest.
We'll get to Hayden. We'll get to Hayden because I think the tight end market's much different this year. But yeah, Von Bell, it's interesting. I think in an ideal world, they would have him back. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is at least some thought within that locker room that he's going to get more elsewhere. We'll see.
If he gets a $10 million a year offer, I think he's gone. So
will he get it? Yeah.
You can see both safeties going. You have Dax Hill. You need to replace another safety then. So do the Bengals want to deal with onboarding another safety where the safeties really are, you know, understanding this defense, maybe not the easiest thing, but I don't know. It also depends on what's going on with Lou. One more defensive guy, James, is Jermaine Pratt, who I put in the Jesse Bates territory of returning. I don't see it as very likely.
I was on multiple shows on Wednesday morning, and both asked, did his outburst after the game impact his future in Cincinnati? And it didn't. He was right. he was right to be frustrated because Joseph Osai made a mistake. Like, no one wants to say that, but it's true. And you feel bad for Joseph, but it's true. Now, should he have said it? No. Is it being a good teammate? No. But I'm sure plenty of guys thought that. What the hell are you doing hitting the quarterback? That said, no, you know what's going to cost him is he thinks he's a three-down linebacker or cost the Bengals or however you want to say it. The Bengals view him as a 2 and a quarter down linebacker. And he's tweeted it. He's made his feelings felt. So he's going to want to go get paid and used that way. And I don't think the Bengals are going to want to pay him what he thinks he's worth. And so I agree with you. I think that the writing's on the wall, that Jermaine Pratt probably played his last down as a member of the Bengals.
Seems likely to me. few more guys we should talk about, including Hayden Hurst, Eli Apple, Samaje Perine. We'll finish up the defense and then get to those offensive guys to finish up the show coming up next.
But first, a word from Prize Picks. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks because Prize Picks is daily fantasy the way it should be. What you do is you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's you versus the projections available. And it's not just NFL, it's NBA. It's MLB with spring training kicking off here soon. It's college basketball, both men's and women's. It's WNBA. It's esports. It's MMA. It's so much more in one spot. Prize Picks. So check them out right now at prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app and sign up to play daily fantasy sports. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. And right now with promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, with promo code Locked On. Don't forget to use promo code Locked On for an instant deposit match up to $100.
Eli Apple, Trey Flowers, the only other really significant playing time defensive free agents for the Bengals this year. Just looking at number of snaps played, Eli Apple obviously out there most of the time, about 90% of the snaps played. Trey Flowers, 16.5% of the snaps played on this Bengals defense. We've talked about the other big names. Eli Apple is certainly the bigger name here. If they don't have a good feel for Chidobe Awuzie's return, if they don't have a good feel for what they're doing for cornerback depth, where really they have Cam Taylor, Britt, Mike Hilton, and question marks on the roster right now, that's a world where Eli Apple returns to the Bengals, a world where his market doesn't materialize again, and a world where they feel that they can continue to live with everything that happens with Eli Apple off the field, as he is on the field for the most part like an average starting NFL cornerback, roughly, at this point in his career.
He's been okay. I think the distraction part of it is really interesting because I don't foresee him getting a long-term deal from anybody. Even though he's 27, even though I think he's reestablished himself as a capable corner in this league after kind of being left for dead from an NFL standpoint a few years ago, and Lou Anarumo bringing him here to Cincinnati, resurrecting his career. Is it worth all the antics? And just the stuff that we see on the surface, all the tweets, all the back and forth, all of the – it's now another year. To Eli's credit, at least he's consistent with it. And he's just being himself, and that's what he does. At the same time, man, I think it cost him last offseason – when he had a pretty good year and was a big part of them making that run to the Super Bowl. And he was a big part of this team. And yet, when you think of Eli Apple, you don't think about his play on the field. You think about tweets and Cancun on three. And some of it's funny, but how do NFL teams view it? And then how do the Bengals view it? I think that he'll hit free agency. He'll be able to test his market. If a team comes calling with a multi-year deal, I think he's gone. But is there a scenario where the Bengals look up, it's a week into free agency, and they say, all right, Eli, we'll give you that same deal we offered you last year. 1 year, $1 million-plus guaranteed, I believe, $3.75 million overall. I think they might be willing to do that, but that's probably it. So I would lean towards him being gone, but I think there's a scenario where he comes back. If I had to give a percentage, I'd say like 30%.
Here's the thing. Von Bell, 1,000 snaps. Jesse Bates, 1,000 snaps. Eli Apple, 908 snaps. Jermaine Pratt, 722 snaps. There's some obvious replacements for some of those. Dax Hill being a full-time safety. Maybe it's Akeem Davis-Gaither and Marcus Bailey filling the job of Jermaine Pratt if he goes elsewhere. Eli Apple could be Cam Taylor-Britt if Cheeto's healthy, and another corner that they potentially could add in the draft. Wouldn't surprise me to see them pick a corner early this year. It's just a lot to replace on the defensive side of the ball if none of these guys come back. What would you say? Would you say like 80% at least one of these guys is back?
Yeah, because what are the odds that Vaughn gets his doors blown off by an offer and Eli gets a multi-year deal and Pratt gets exactly what he wants? I think two of the three likely happen, and the most likely is Von Bell, because I think they're willing to pay Von Bell as close to what he's hoping for as any of these guys. I think Eli's hoping for a multi-year deal, and the Bengals would just say, no, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Pratt thinks he's this three-down linebacker, and the Bengals are like, well, you're not. And whether that's fair or not, and by the way, they're probably going to try to extend Logan Wilson, I would think, as well this offseason. So that's where the linebacker money goes. But I think they do get one, and I guess that would be Von Bell if you had to put money on it. But he's going to test the market, and funny money happens when free agency hits. And mm-hmm. and who knows? I mentioned Bates to the Browns. Who knows, right? All these safety needy teams, they may pivot and make Von Bell the bell of the ball and go get him instead of, you know, big fish hunting.
You never know. You're right about that. On the offensive side of the ball, it's really a couple of guys that are unrestricted free agents that could command significant chunks of the salary cap if they were to be retained by the Bengals, and that's Hayden Hurst and Samaje Perine. Not to disrespect, mm-hmm. you know, Trent Taylor and Travion
Williams. You wish, Trent Williams. You wish.
I do. And, you know, Max
Sharpe. Still be playing if it was Trent Williams. Go ahead.
All these guys could be back, could not. I don't expect Sharping back necessarily, but, you know, Travion Williams could be back for sure on a similar small deal. But Hayden Hurst, Samaje Perine, the two big questions to me. They will need a tight end. And Samaje Perine is one of the best pass-protecting running backs in the league. They trusted him a ton. You can see it with how much he played in the AFC Championship game. I think they value him pretty highly. And a conversation we're going to have is around Joe Mixon, especially if they do bring back Samaje. So Hayden Hurst, a big contributor, played about half the Bengals snaps this year, had some injuries that he dealt with, going to be 30. They need a tight end, though. The question is, do they think that they can get it elsewhere, or is it, let's get Hayden again if we can and try to buy ourselves some time, as they've kind of had a revolving door at tight end.
Yeah, a little bit. They have. It's a big – it's like the opposite of last year. I think there's a lot of tight ends in this draft class that these teams are going to like. And it's not like the opposite last year where it's like, hey, you better get a tight end in free agency. And it was like musical chairs, and Hayden sort of fell into the Bengals' lap, and he wasn't their first choice necessarily or their second choice. And you get him on a one-year deal, and I love the value at the time, and it worked out. Hayden Hurst is a really good player this year. If you can bring him back for a reasonable contract, I say do it. But he signed a one-year, $3.5 million deal in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow for a reason, to cash in this offseason. He is 30. He is, you know, he had that whole baseball career beforehand, and he was old coming into the league. And so now he's got to get paid now. If he's going to, and I get it, he had first round money, but if he's going to get paid, this is the year to do it. And so I don't think he's taking any discounts. So what is his market, and how high are you willing to go? I wouldn't go too high. I wouldn't. I think that there are a lot of guys that maybe not bring the energy the way Hayden did this year. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the crop tops and the hair and the flexing after the first downs. But I think there are a lot of tight ends that can bring you most of what he brought, even though it was a lot and it was fun to watch. And that said, if he wants to stay in Cincinnati for a reasonable amount, I think the Bengals would love to have him back, and they'll still probably draft a tight end. But they could also find a replacement elsewhere and draft a tight end if they need to. And I think that they'll probably more than likely go that route if he does sign elsewhere.
It's not like it's a great tight end class for free agency this year. It's not terribly deep, but guys like Foster Moreau and Irv Smith are free agents, and Irv Smith coming off a big injury, obviously, but like the efficiency for those guys, not terribly different from the efficiency of Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst wasn't this big explosive weapon for this offense. He was a reliable receiver. He was good when they needed first downs. And he was like an okay blocker. Wouldn't say that he was incredible or anything like that. But I'm not shelling out big dollars for Hayden Hurst, which maybe, I mean, you just said it too. I would just look elsewhere. He's a solid player. 25 first downs this year. That's
would you do 2 years, $12 million?
Sure. I'm going to have to look at that, actually, because so here's the thing. This is where we need to go at some point here in the near future is, despite them having the fourth most cap space in the NFL, I think that their cap situation is trickier than you might think. And their cash situation is trickier than you might think, especially if they continue to do business the way they've done business. Because they're going to have to pay Joe Burrow like $70 million.
This is a good tease for tomorrow, baby.
If they put this extension together this year, like how big of a signing bonus are we talking about for Joe Burrow? 40, 50, plus a salary, plus any roster bonus that they try to do, right? They're going to try to extend T. Higgins. You're talking about potentially another 10, 15, $20 million signing bonus there, depending on how big that contract is. So they have a lot of cash expenses coming up here. And that's going to probably pretty quickly eat into some of this cap. And if you want them to go sign anybody new, like to supplement what they've got in the trenches on defense, for example, go find a pass rusher somewhere.
They have to sign people, new people.
Right.
New players. They have, like, they have to. They're not good enough. We just saw it.
So that being the requirement, managing the cap gets a little bit trickier than it maybe looks when you think, oh, they have the fourth most cap space in the NFL. It's never as deep, or it's always deeper, I should say, than those initial numbers. Those initial numbers on the salary cap are pretty meaningless. So we'll have to dive into that as well. I do think, though, that there's a conversation around Joe Mixon to be had. Samaje Perine fits into that. What kind of offense do they want to be? Can you continue to have such a big cap hit on your team, be a guy that only took like 30% of your snaps in the AFC championship game?
Let's do that tomorrow.
That's a hard question. Interesting.
Yeah. Don't give it away too much.
Yeah. So some more to talk about there when we're looking at this offseason ahead. And you know what we didn't get to today, James, is like which of these guys do you think is the most important for them to prioritize? So we can talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah,
in terms of who should they bring back if they had to pick some guys? Because I don't know
none of them. These guys are going to none of them be back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Wow, cool.
No, I think, but honestly, I think most of them are gone.
Yeah, seems that way. Mm-hmm. But not all of them. I think we'll be surprised. We'll see what happens there. But there's going to be a prioritization on extension to some of these first year rookie contracts and. That's Logan Wilson, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, obviously. And so
what a draft class.
Yeah, that worked out.
Those are your first three picks. Holy God.
They're all going to get a bunch of money. Anyway, we'll talk some more about this.
And they didn't have to trade up to get any of them. They were just there.
That happens when you pick first overall.
Stupid NFL. Letting those guys fall. T. Higgins falling. Logan Wilson falling.
Logan Wilson, I understood.
Sure, but not now.
He's turned out very good. He's a very good NFL player. We'll talk some more about this stuff. Joe Mixon, the salary cap, Joe Burrow extension. And if we get news on any of these coaches, we'll talk about that as well to finish up this week as we shift gears to the offseason. Senior Bowl is going on too, James. In the near future, we're going to have a draft primer episode, talk about the Senior Bowl a little bit. If you're ready for that, go check out Locked On NFL Draft where they are talking about the Senior Bowl. We've got 6 or 7 or 8 guys on the network down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl right now. So they'll have you covered with everything going on down there. So until next time, thanks for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast. Hootay, and have a good one.